Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Two down, two to go. Welcome into our third hour of Sports Talk on this Tuesday afternoon. Welcome in, Mark Menard back at Master Control. I'm Christian Garrick, joined now by NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. Mikey D, how are you?
I'm doing good. Thank you, Christian.
You bet. Hope you're well and all this other stuff. And, man, where do we start, Mike? I mean, truthfully.
You throw it, I hit it.
Right? I'm just trying to decide which pitch I want to throw right now. What do you think the NFL training camps are going to look like? In other words, do you think that they're going to say, hey, you can only bring 75 to training camp in order to have a buffer in case there's an outbreak?
Yeah, I think it's going to shorten it up far as player-wise. The other thing I think that has to be made, and I think that decision will occur, is that they're going to have to extend the rosters more than what it is today. You can't take that chance. You kind of battling something. You don't know the answers to at this point, the full answers. What you don't want to happen is something happens late in a week before a regular season game and then you missing three or four guys. And so I think what you'll see is the NFL and the NFLPA come up with an agreement. That may just be a one-year deal, but for 2020, let's extend those rosters, if it's four players or five players. So I do think it'll be cut to 75. I understand why, but it's going to give the coaches a better look at the players that you really think are going to have a chance to make this team. We've all been at training camp and see guys that you know that they're not going to make it real early. But so I think the 75, I think, would be sufficient. And not having an off season to give you some time, I do think the Saints, along with teams like a Kansas City, I would put probably Green Bay in that category. Seattle, not a lot of movement in the offseason. And so you bring back a veteran team. San Francisco has had a few moves, but I do think the teams that have kept that core in place will have an advantage. Football is not a switch. Can't turn it on and off. And the off season is about getting in shape for you to get to training camp and then you get in football shape. I remember Bobby and I used to laugh all the time about Greg Williams. And Greg was here. Now, you got to figure, you're out there 95, 96 degree weather. Humidity is almost 100%. And, man, two and a half hours into this, these camps, man, these guys are starting to wilt a little bit. And Greg was always telling them, hey, where's your trainer at? Where's your trainer? You know, he was trying to motivate them that, hey, listen, what you did in the offseason is great, but this is about football. There's a difference between getting in shape for training camp and getting in shape for football season. And, boy, he'd lay it to him. That was a couple guys, man, he was constantly on about that. And you could see they sort of were dragging a little bit. Now, physically, they look great. They weren't that – they were out of shape. But it does take a little bit to get back into that football shape. So to think the 75 and the extended rosters, I do think Christian Neal, unless something would dramatically change, I do think we're going to see two preseason games. I've always felt there wouldn't be four, and probably two. But unless something dramatically would happen, I think you're going to see at least two preseason games.
That's a positive, that's for sure. Mike Dettillier, WWL College and NFL analyst. Mike, do you see a scenario? I floated this out there to a couple people. A scenario where you could expand the practice squad just for this year to say, I don't know, 20, right? And they practice in a totally different building. Could you see that?
It's possible. Logistically, though, that's going to be tough, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you got, say, a 12-man or 15-man practice squad, okay, I do know there's 22 guys on the field at one time. So you might have three receivers.
Yeah.
You know, a couple tight ends. So you're missing some parts here along the way. I just think logistically it's tough.
Well, my thing is, all the answers.
Yeah. So my thing about it is just have, you know, you can take all the precautions you can. Just like any business that's reopened today, you're trying to take as much medically precautions as you possibly can. We all know that because we're seeing it in the NBA, we're seeing it in Major League Baseball, they're going to have guys that's going to test positive for COVID. And it may be asymptomatic. You may not even realize it until you take the test. So we're walking down a road we've never walked down before. So for precaution, the one thing with the NFL, up until now, they always had one thing on their side, time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the tick, tick, tick of a clock is the worst sound in the world because now you're hearing it. You heard what the NBA heard, what Major League Baseball heard, what all these other sports heard. Now you're hearing it. Now you got to make tough decisions at that point in time. So I do think the rosters, 75, I do think they'll expand the rosters. Man, separating the practice squad and the regular season roster, that's going to be tough. Because you want to get some cohesion there. And how would you do it with the coaches? That would be the other part. That would sort of be odd with it. So, listen, no matter what, football now is staring into the mirror that they haven't had to stare into before because they always had time. Now, that tick, tick, tick of a clock is there. And now you're going to have to make some adjustments. And I think you're going to have to expand the roster. You're going to have to give coaches a better advantage with this to put the best people on the field that you can. And my thing about it is, I know it's money, of these inactives on game day. Okay, for me, this few measly bucks, you got people inactive? Again, I get it because written into some of those contracts is money involved. But come on, if you got a 53 or 55-man squad, whatever the hell it is, play them. That's why they're there. Not have this inactive stuff. Now, if a guy's hurt and he can't play. But still, the NFL is going to have to make adjustments along the way, just like college football will, which that'll be interesting too, you know, of how that sort of sorts out in it. But at least I think that despite the fact that we've got a little bit of a second surge with this, that the NFL seems to be moving forward. There's no tap the brake. Now, they've been the last ones to hit the brake, but I always tell people, you got to understand, they always had time. Oh, move back the draft. For what reason? When we did the draft for 3 days, we weren't all together, but we handled the draft, you know, pretty well, radio-wise, just like we've had in the past. The NFL, it went off swimmingly. It went off great. And it gave people something to watch other than, you know, no sports at all. I do think now, though, you're getting into some critical decisions that have to be made by the NFL and the NCAA, who did have that time element in their hands. And we'll see how easy it is. It's not. You know, that's going to be some tough decisions that are going to have to be made here with a lot of different options. And certainly keeping those players healthy, keeping coaches. We all know that the range in coaches go from what? Guys in their late 30s into their 70s. So, you know, and how it affects that part of the game. We're seeing it even with the Pelicans already, that, you know, one of their coaches isn't going to be there in Orlando. So expect that that'll happen the same way in the NFL and most likely same way in college football.
NFL and college football analyst, plenty to come. Still going to unpack quite a bit from Mike next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Hanging out with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. And Mike, right now with the way it looks for the NFL, where they're asking teams to either shorten the amount of players you bring to camp and maybe you don't have two preseason games, all that might seem like a level playing field for everybody, but the teams like the Saints, the Packers, others that have stability at the head coaching and quarterback position, I think there's the advantage there. They have an advantage there.
No question they got an advantage roster-wise. Consider what's going on in Carolina. Okay, you have a new head coach. He's never been a head coach at the professional level. He has been in college. He's been an assistant in the NFL, never been a head coach at the pro ranks. He's trying to build the new culture in Carolina and trying to form that locker room leadership. Guess what? You got difficult. You got some difficult times with that, especially early on. I think it's going to be real difficult for Matt Rhule this year. And, you know, he would never have thought that, you know, this would have happened when he took the job. And certainly I think he's a really good coach. But, man, that's a tough sell early on. So I do think, as I said in the first hour, in the first segment, that, you know, it is an advantage, no question, to the veteran teams who have a veteran quarterback, have most of their returning starters, their core back, and most of their coaching staff back. You look at the Saints, other than Mike Nolan, everybody returns. So you do have that built-in advantage that you know the system, you know the terminology, the language, everything else that's out there. Will there be exceptions to the rule? Always. But I think for the most part, teams like New Orleans, Kansas City, Green Bay, Seattle, you name it, you know, those teams that didn't have a lot of movement, they're going to have an advantage, especially early in the season when, you know, because of not having all the practice sessions, preseason, you're going to have an advantage over a team that's maybe gone through a lot of transition, coaching style-wise, staff-wise, personnel-wise. Yes, no question about it.
Mike, also, when you consider that evaluating these players is going to be a little bit tougher, I mean, how many jobs would you say are truly up for grabs on the Saints roster? A handful?
Here's my thing. You can go to the first 3 days of practice with the Saints, and you know it pretty quickly. You know who's in the running for those spots. That's always going to be, I guess, a small fraction of a guy who may not be the greatest practice player in the world, but you put them lights on and he can turn it. And listen, I've been in this business a long time and I've seen it even before. They got guys that are unbelievable on game day and may not be the greatest practice players in the world. And they're also guys that are tremendous practice players, and they freeze up at game time. I can't explain to you why that occurs, but it does happen. But that's just a small percentage. I think if you see the first 3 days, didn't we all see pretty quickly Deontay Harris, Emmanuel Butler, even though he was on the practice squad, that guy can play. Little Jordan Humphrey, Shy Tuttle. You know, we didn't need to see 3 weeks of it. You can see that in the first couple, 3 days. Those guys were pretty talented and had a real strong chance to make the 53-man roster. They just didn't. It didn't break right for Butler, but he's still here. He was on the practice squad. I think because you get so routined as a coach, I want to see him in practice, I want to see this, I want to see that, and I want to see him in a game situation. If you got 2 preseason games, man, that's plenty. All I know is in college football, they don't have it. You have 0. You know, when you start the season, that regular season game counts. That's no preseason. So I think where you may have a small percentage of misses, I think for the most part, you're probably going to have, you know, 98%. You pretty much know after the first couple days. The other part about it is what we're dealing with is the fact that they didn't have the offseason. These guys weren't here. You hope that they are in great shape. You hope that they're in the best shape they can be in for football camp. Now, none of us know that. We saw last year one player, and he was a really good player, and Larry Wolford, he showed up, he was heavy. And it showed up in his play, and he gets hurt, and those sort of things. And who knows, you know, with Larry, wish him well, because he was a heck of a player here for the Saints. But he wasn't in the greatest shape last year when he showed up for training camp. There's always going to be that veteran that maybe is not in the best shape, or guys thinking about quitting. Okay, I'm going to go to camp, man, 3 or 4 days in. Man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, you know. I don't know if I want to put my body through this, that grind. So there's always that evaluation. There's always somebody there that you brought in, you thought looked good, maybe in workouts. You go to training camp, and they start to have maybe some second thoughts about being there. There's always the surprise of somebody all of a sudden emerging as a player. He knows maybe it's his last chance to play in the NFL. And so he gives it everything he's got, understanding that. And veterans kind of know what speed they have to run into. For most of the veterans, they kind of understand what preseason is all about. And it's an Allen Iverson line, but it's true. Man, judging me on practice, you know what I can do as a player. But for some players, they hit that wall, either through age or injuries. And for some, maybe saying, you know what, man, I've made good money in this game. I can do something else. I'm going to walk. But that's where early on those – I'm interested this year because, again, there's been no OTAs. There's been no kind of spring drills. You maybe as a coach had a sense maybe a player was thinking that way. Now you really don't, because you haven't been around him in that time frame. And he can look at film and he can be on a Zoom call and tell you all the right things. That doesn't necessarily mean that the mind and the body agree.
NFL analyst Mike D'Antilier. Mike, when you look at tonight, it's special for LSU. They're getting their rings tonight, the national championships.
Yeah, I just posted it on my Twitter and Facebook page. Miles Brennan showing the bling, the 3 rings. For me, excuse me, I don't get too emotional about things. But to see what, you know, kind of growing up, you know, same, you know, lay of the land as Coach O, to see what he accomplished last year and what that football team accomplished was, you know, a great experience, put it to you that way, to go through that whole year and see the transformation of what he's done as a head coach. And I've told this story before, and Bobby knows it, in that when we spoke in December of 2018, he told me, he said, listen, I'm going to change some things here at LSU, and we're going to go to the spread offense, which I knew he had to do. And he said, you know, I talked to Steve. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hire. We're going to bring in somebody that's going to help us. And he said, secondly, we're going to become a national recruit team. we're going to start recruiting out in Virginia and Maryland, you know, and in the Midwest and out in California, a lot of connections there. And I could understand the California part because he was there for so long. My thing is, Ed, you're talking about Virginia and Maryland and Washington, D.C.? LSU's never done that, never really heavily recruited the Midwest at all. You know, Ethan Posick, I remember a few years back, they got him from the Midwest, and they've had a few, but it hasn't been numbers. He said, all I'm telling you, he said, that's what we're going to do, Mike. And he said, here's the best part. They coming to us. They contacting us. It's not so much we started it, they started it. They wanted to come here, be part of LSU. And I'm like, wow, that's never happened before. And, you know, we had a few laughs about it. But in essence, Christian, what you've seen, you look at the transformation of what's happened here. And for, you know, this state is tremendous for running backs, receivers, defensive backs. Underrated for defensive tackles. They've produced a lot of, but not a lot of offensive linemen throughout the years in numbers. So you got to go out of state if it's Texas or Florida, Alabama, Georgia, whatever. The same thing at linebacker, and I can't explain to you why, because you'd figure they'd have a lot of 6'1", 6'2", guys in that 210, 215 area that would be good recruits at linebacker. And yet they've recruited a lot of out-of-state guys at linebacker. It's done a fabulous job. But, man, the players responded to him. He had a special group last year. And I told him this a few weeks back. You might win another one, but you'll never win one like you did in 2019. I mean, that was a ride and a half.
Yeah, we're not going to see anything. We might not see another college football team like that in our lifetime. We just might not.
You know, I brought this up to him. Him and I did a speaking engagement in Baton Rouge in early November. And we were talking, and I said, you know, he asked me, he said, man, Joe Burrow, you've seen anything like this? And I said, you know, Ed, growing up, I saw as a young, really young kid, I saw O.J. at USC. And I got to see Herschel at Georgia and Bo Jackson and what Barry Sanders did at Oklahoma State. And I thought Vince Young was unbelievable at Texas, to be honest with you. As a college player, he was unreal. And I said, I can't think of a guy in a one-year time frame that has done what Miles was able to do. And he said, you know, I thought the exact same thing. I've never seen a college player play like that at that high level and consistently at that high level. Year, game in, game out. And so, you know, it all changed once they got Miles. He became the pivotal piece of the puzzle.
You mean Burrow?
Joe Burrow. He became the pivotal piece. And once you get the first one, then the rest will follow. And he told me the story of what happened at USC. They got Carson Palmer. And then after Carson, it became Matt Castle, Matt Leinart, John David Booty, Mark Sanchez. You know, it was bang, 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 all across the board. Now look at it, because I don't think LSU's issue in 2020 is going to be Miles Brennan. Miles can play. Now, they're going to have to protect him, and that's going to be the question mark in 2020, offensive line play. If that goes down, man, listen, this team's going to be really good. I mean, really good again. But you got Joe, and now you got Miles. And behind him, now you got Max Johnson, TJ Finley. And look what you got coming in. And in the class of 2023, maybe the most prolific quarterback group I've ever seen, with Holstein from Zachary and Arch Manning and Jai Eugene Jr., from Destrehan and a couple other guys. Man, you know, Louisiana hasn't produced that many in one class. So, you know, he got it rolling. But, man, listen, give Joe Burrow a tremendous amount of credit on that he was able to keep this team rocking and rolling. And he's a once-in-a-lifetime player. You're not going to get many like him to do what he did to not only his effect on the team, but what it's going to do for long-term quarterbacks looking at LSU are now going to look at it differently. You couldn't say that about any other guy over the last 25 years at LSU.
No, I mean, if you were a quarterback, the last place you were going was LSU. If you were a cornerback, a defensive back, a pass rusher, a linebacker, yeah, sure. But if you were a quarterback, the last place you were looking, because they didn't have any imagination or innovation. Hanging out with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. We'll step away and come back. This is Sports Talk on WWL. Mike Dettillier, Christian Garrick here on Sports Talk, reliving some of LSU's big moments from their national championship run. And this song debuted when they visited the White House, and the video of them dancing to this song. Mike, that team was not short on personality. You know what I mean? It was fun. They were a fun group.
Yeah, they were. And the little lady that danced with them, she don't live too far from me. she got personality too. But that team, man, listen, they had a lot of personality. They had a lot of fun. But it's fun when you win. Come on. You don't have a lot of fun when you lose it. And you could see just the excitement of that football team and what it meant not only for the young men and their families and for LSU, but what it meant for Louisiana. And I think they knew that they had given this state a little bit of an oomph, and given it that where, and I say this about TV and not to downplay it. If you're a Saints fan, why are you watching pregame NFL action? They give the Saints, what, maybe 2 minutes? If that, most of NFL pregame shows, even if it's 2 hours, they're talking about Philadelphia and the Cowboys and the Jets and the Giants and the defending Super Bowl champs, okay? And that's pretty much the cut line, which is more of the time at the New England Patriots. Man, listen, that's why WWL radio and Saints coverage is so important and so popular, because you get that. You're not getting that off of TV. Come on. What station gives you that off the national channel? None of them. The Saints aren't the profile team up there. So I do believe that you saw it last year. If it was ESPN, if it was Fox, CBS, you name it. Who got all that ink? Who got all that publicity? LSU. And listen, that's not the norm. That's not the norm. But you got it because you were winning. And that's the big part about it. Ed knows all about it. He'd been through that when he was at Miami or Florida with those great hurricane teams. He was like that out west. Man, him and Pete had it running at USC. And so he knew the attention. Also, there's a little bit of built-up pressure in that. You're no longer the team hunting somebody. You become the hunted. So, you got to understand what you're facing each week. Hey, this ain't homecoming games no more. You better become prepared each and every week for somebody's best shot. And they were able to take that and give it out last year.
Mike, a testament to what you were talking about earlier, where they are now a national brand. 12 out of the 15 players signed up for the 2021 recruiting class are out of state. Those are the things that Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, that's why they're now in this window where they're, over the next half dozen years, they can win another title or two.
Yeah, and I think, too, is, and Ed probably be the first one to tell you that he struggled with the personality part at Ole Miss. He could never get that across. He became the hard-headed Cajun, okay? I ain't changing for nobody. And Pete Carroll told him, hey, listen, you're the last voice, so you got to change. You can't run this team like a defensive line coach. You got to run it as the CEO. And Ax Ed, what he did. He didn't take any of that advice. He just was going to do it. Just like we grew up, we're hard-headed. And listen, I know how to do it better than the linebackers coach. I'm going to go coach that deal. I'm going to go coach the running backs. No, you got to trust your guys. And he has become the personality. you know, they want to get him on. Now, he's not going to elaborate a long period of time, but one thing with Ed, and I give Sean the same thing, he does not give you your story, he doesn't write it for you, and he doesn't give you the soundbite, but he tells you what's going to happen. You ask Ed a question directly, and he's going to give you an answer. He doesn't honest. Beat around the bush with it. And normally, if you direct with Sean, he gives it right back to you also. And I think that's one of the things that Ed learned in that 1 year with Sean Payton is how to deal with the press and how to deal media-wise with people. And he's a totally changed guy, personality-wise, with the media than he was when he was at Ole Miss. You talk to the guys there, he wouldn't tell them nothing. You know, zilch. Today, you get him in an interview, and he gives you his personality, okay? He tells you the story, you know, about how he grew up, Mr. Bebe, Coco, Salt LaFouche, stories about Bobby J, you name it. And he got stories. Believe me, he got them. And so he can transform that today that he couldn't do back then at Ole Miss. He had never been a head coach before. The car had never stopped at that spot. He learned the hard way. And now, come on, you know, he's like Dabo in a lot of ways. And I got to meet Dabo at Manning when Deshaun Watson won the Manning Award. And how similar they are. Now, their personalities are similar, and their stories are a little bit different, but yet they're not the typical pro college head coach. You know, that's not what you put in the cookie cutter, what you see from Dabo, what you see from Ed. That's not what you normally see from a head coach. But they had their own style. They feel comfortable with it, and Ed's become personality. And all I know is, man, he can charm. He get in that recruit's house, and he does a great job of charming those recruits and moms and dads and aunts, uncles, grandmas, grandpas, you name them. He can do it.
That's who you got to win over is mom. All right, we'll wrap up this hour of Sports Talk with Mike Dettillier next here on WWL. Wrap it up with NFL analyst Mike Dettillier, brother in Metairie. What's going on, brother? You're on WWL.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Long time no talk
brother,
to me.
Man, I'm glad to hear from you, bro. Man, I was worrying about you.
How's everybody doing? You doing okay? Everybody all right?
Everybody's doing good. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. Let me ask you something. What's going on with the NFL, the draft choices? I mean, are they signing these guys or nobody signed them? What's going on, Mike?
Yeah, it's been slower this year than we've seen in the past. But, brother, you don't have to worry about that. That's all sort of slotted. Of where you get picked, you sort of know how you're going to get paid. But but listen, over the next couple of weeks, that's all going to get taken care of. Believe me, that's not a major issue at this point. It really isn't.
Especially with no offseason workouts, there's no reason to.
But it's slower this year than we've ever seen it. Even with, you know, maybe some restrictions on how players could come in to work out because of the conference. But I think that's going to be resolved very quickly. Man, listen, if that's the biggest worry we got, man, we ain't got no worries.
Mike, do you think college football will go off this year in the fall?
Say yes. I have no doubt the NFL will. But college football... There's something in the back of my mind that tells me it will, but will they think about maybe pushing it back a little bit? My thing, Christian, is this. You push it back or push whatever. So if you're going to throw this to the spring, here's my deal. And I've heard the thing, oh, we'll throw it to the spring. Okay, can you guarantee at that point that the coronavirus, you have a vaccine? And that you're going to be in any better shape in January and February of 2021 than you are today? Nobody can answer that. No one can. So, okay, we're going to push it back. Oh, great. And should be discussion about it. But my thing is, bottom line is, okay, ensure me that in January and February of 2021, you'll be better off today than you are today. You'll be better off then. And you can't. So you kind of guessing early of next year, too. And all I know is if they push back this college football season into the fall, I mean into the spring months, I'll guarantee you one thing will happen. You will have most of the top juniors and seniors not play. That draft's not going to change in April. So why should I play? Now, you'll have some, but I think some of them are going to say, I'm not going to do it. You know, I know what's at stake at this point. So now you're crossing another bridge, you know, for the NCAA. So, again, just when you jump one hurdle, that's another one along the way. That's still a lot of unknown, but I do think that you will have a college football season in the fall.
NFL analyst Mike DeTillier, thanks so much for the time, man.
Thank you, brother.
All right, it is the Community Coffee Saints Hour, and it's next with Randall Gay, two-time Super Bowl champ, next here on WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.